The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Save big money on everything for your next bathroom project now at Menards. Upgrade your bathroom with Max. With more than 1,000 showers, bathtubs, and surrounds, you're sure to find exactly what you need to add luxury and style to your bathroom. Save big on our entire selection of Max bathroom products. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out. The bad seed, the broken data, bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad items, bad taste, bad life, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Appalachia right across the river and through the woods from where Granny just got a fresh new cartridge, half G of the bomb pop, 87% of the THC. She's loaded when she's drinking shots of JMO in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do it. All my friends that come around, flats and party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, this town's a tatter, my brain's splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake it. Ooh. Hey, what's gigging? It's Farrell with Carver High tonight. We're watching the Warriors, who seldom come out to play. They just started with the Kings, tied at twos, first bucket of the game from none other than Steph Hair Braid Curry. He's rocking the hair braids tonight. I mean, I didn't even recognize him, but I recognize that J, that crisp, clean J. He's popping from the outside, son. It's no joke. Here he is getting hammered, fouled. So we'll keep our eyes on this game tonight. Should be interesting. They got a lot of decent players I want to watch. I want to watch Curry. Hopefully they'll give Wiseman some burn. See who's on this team. I want to see Kelly Oubre play in this game. I already watched the Sixers handle the Celtics. No problem there. I don't know if you watched that game. 108-99, Philly wins it. And then the Rockets are leading the Spurs in the fourth. 10 minutes to go, 87-76. Just to get an idea of what's happening in that game, we see Harden has 12. Wall 15. Wall's got 1-3, 6-13 from the floor, 2 boards, 3 dimes. Harden 3-10 from the floor, 3 boards, 4 dimes in 21 minutes. Nobody else really doing anything major. McLemore's got 10. Tate's got 11, whoever that is. Anyway, on the other side for the Spurs, Aldridge with 12, Walker the fourth with 17 for San Antonio. Preseason rack tonight, 5-4 Warriors out of the gates. Like, I haven't seen live stock footage of the Rockets yet tonight, but Carver High showed me a picture, I don't know, earlier before the game or something, of him warming up. I mean, do you think that's, like, legitimately how he looks in terms of his weight? Are you kidding me? Did you? I mean, I have never seen that guy that fat.
That was him in the warm-up line. That was before tonight's game.
I mean, what did you think when you saw that?
It's funny because you mentioned all those guys on Coast to Coast today. You rang off basically a starting five of guys who got a little bit too much weight on them, and suddenly we have a new entrant. We have a new guy in the starting five. James Harden in the mix now.
The ones that I talked about were Doncic, Mitchell, Spider Mitchell, and who?
Zion.
Oh, yeah, Zion. So we all understand that Zion's, like, you know, that's his frame. That's his body. That's his look. He came in at, I think, 285. And I'll talk about it in a second. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates, top to bottom, east to west, north, south, everywhere, on Mightier 1090 in San Diego and all of Southern California. Don't forget, on January 7th, we start Sports Grid Radio Network on Sirius XM channel 204. So catch Sports Grid Radio during the day. Brian Blessing, 2 to 4 East, 11 to 1 West. The line makers from lunchtime line makers in Sin City. And then overnights, Pharrell and Morenci, Sports Rage, Wetzel, Bagels and Bad Beats. There you go. So we're rocking. Anyway, Zion came in at 285 into the league. He's, you know, obviously a monster. But, and I won't ever, and I said this last night, I'm not going to dispute his game. I'm not going to dispute his 17 per in the paint, led the league. The guy scores in the paint like no other. He drives and goes to the 10. He's explosive. He's a blast to watch play, right? He's very physical, bull in a china shop physical. But I just, you know, maybe it's just me. I'm probably the only idiot that thinks he knows anything about, like, player weight, but I honestly, like, he's so big now. I mean, there's no way that guy's not 300 pounds. And then, like, what's he going to look like in 5 years? What's he going to be, 350? I mean, let's face facts. Every player in the league, when they come into the league as a rookie, right, they're, you know, bony. They always talk about they got to put some muscle on them. They got to put some food in them. They got to, you know, pack it on them because they come in skinny and they come in like, you know, almost like kids. They're you know, they're not grown men. I mean, I know you think they are playing NCAA D1 ball, that they're grown men. The only guy that I see out there right now that stands out to me in college basketball that's already like a pro is Luka Garza. I mean, that guy's already filled out. He's a grown man move. I mean, just power game, big NBA body. That's why he dominates college players, because they're all soft compared to him. But when you come into the league, and then what happens is over your first 5 years, you just start gaining all kinds of weight and putting on muscle, and they put you in the weight room. So I think the guy's going to keep getting fatter and fatter.
Hey, everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Pharrell on a bench with you. Vic Taper later from The Athletic talking about the Raiders-Chargers game on Thursday night. I think it's in Vegas, that game. So we'll talk to him about it. But anyway, so, you know, I talked about this last night. I don't want to, like, bang and beat a dead horse, but seriously, like, when I saw the shot of Harden tonight, I almost fell over. I couldn't even believe it. But anyway, like, so I think that most players, when they come into the league, are kind of, you know, thin and bony when they're, you know, coming out of college. You can tell. It's painfully obvious to me that you can tell when you look at a kid that's coming out of, you know, D1 ball, getting drafted or a free agent, that they're, you know, not filled out and they're not, they don't have that muscle and they don't have that weight that, you know, every pro gets. They all gain weight. You know, I'm talking, you know, in particular, for the most part, I would say, you know, forwards and big men, right? Like, so like if they bring in a guy like Wiseman, okay, he looks like a skinny college kid when he comes in. And I know he's big, a 7-footer, whatever. But, dude, I'm telling you, when you see these guys that play in the league, these big centers and whatever, I mean, look at Nurkic or any of them, Jokic, look at all of them. They all have massive amounts of extra weight and muscle, right? They just all do, every one of them. And then the college kids don't have that yet. And then it's the weirdest thing because you're watching them play, whatever, and then all of a sudden you're like, you get lost in the translation because you'll only see a team play here or there like once or twice a month, right? On, let's say, TNT or ESPN or whatever. And if you don't have the NBA package and you don't watch every night, you don't see them, and then you forget about it. And then all of a sudden 3 years goes by and you look and you see the guy and you're like, holy shack, the guy looks like he gained 25 pounds. Well, it's because he did. It's because he did. They put him in the weight room and then they get him on, you know, diets. Like, you could see it right now. Turn on TNT, Buddy Hield, when he came in from Oklahoma to where he is today, he looks like he gained 30 pounds. I mean, turn it on. He's playing right now. He's got the ball in his hand. The guy's, he's 30 pounds heavier than when he played at Oklahoma. There's no getting around it. I mean, now he looks like a guy that, like, he's still the same shooter. He just hit a three, but he's gained 30 pounds since, look at him. It's muscle and weight. Turn it on, Carver High. Turn the game on right now. Look at Buddy Hield, 24 for the Kings. They're in a timeout, but when they come back, look at his body and then remember what he looked like at Oklahoma, total skinny runt, and then he comes and plays in the NBA. Put, you know, 3 years on him, 4 years on him, and you're going to see how much weight he gained and how much muscle he added. And they put him in the training room, they put him on weights, and they feed him like champions, right? And they eat way more calories a day than you do, way more food than you do. They have multiple meals. Like, you do, you know, maybe breakfast and dinner. They do, you know, they do 5-6 meals a day, right? So, I mean, look at, and this is not a reflection of their game, okay? This is, you know, I think Zion's a badass. This is not a reflection on Doncic. He's favored to win the MVP. This is not a reflection of Spider Mitchell. The guy just got a, you know, extension, Supermax extension. The guy's worth tons of money. He never has to worry about working another day the rest of his life except playing ball, because he's got more money in the bank than you'll ever know. But take a look at him. Look at him last year, and then look at the size of his hips and ass this year. I mean, they were in the bubble, right? So, this guy was in the bubble balling his ass off and playing great ball. He's an incredible player. This is not about whether they can fill it up. This is about, you know, what are you doing in your 2 months off? I mean, what'd you do? Eat a Sonic Burger franchise? I mean, what were you doing, bro? Snapping tubes and drinking milkshakes with Oreos in them? I don't get it, because I looked at all of them, and Doncic even admitted that he's fat. Like, he said, I'm out of shape. That's a nice way of saying you're fat. I mean, look at him. Look at the highlights from last night. Look at his hips and ass, of his lower body, and you can see all of them. Spida, Doncic, and I thought, like, did you watch Zion last night, Carver? Did you see his body last night? Like, and then, you know, I said to my son, I'm like, look at him. He's fat. And my son's like, no, he's not. He's just powerful. I'm like, bro, he is fat. He's literally got two laps shy of being a tractor trailer. Who are you kidding?
I didn't see.
And look at Harden. Harden looks like he ate, you know, when he went to Vegas and Atlanta, what did he do? Eat cheetahs? Not Cheetos. Cheetahs, the strip club.
Harden looks big. Harden looks big. I did not see Zion last night, but I saw him last week. Somebody posted a pic of him from, you know, training camp opening or something like that. Right. And I actually thought he looked a little bit better than last year. I mean, it was a quick picture. I mean, who knows? Maybe, you know, they got it from a bad angle or something. But I thought that he actually looked like he lost a couple pounds off of last year.
Like, I think the difference is that and you know, I respect you, but I don't think you're a hockey guy. So I think you care about as much about guys' waistlines in the NBA as you do, catching the COVID. All I know is that I saw him. I've watched him play a million times, and I'm telling you, like, the one thing about him is that, like, it's like my son said, like, no one can stop him when he drives to the basket. And I think there's a combination there of his strength and power and age, his youth. He's whatever, 19, 20 years old, whatever the hell he is. I can't keep track of their birthdays. I know we tried to on Coast to Coast, but I really don't even remember or know anymore how old they are. But I know he's super young. He played 1 year at Duke. So he's like 19, 20 at best. And so he's got that youth, right? So what happens is that it's like I play ball with 6'6", 225 high school seniors. I play with college kids. I play with 30-year-olds. I play with guys that, you know, can get up and down and dunk and things like this. Well, you know, when I was 30, I could dunk too. And I, you know, I weighed probably, you know, 185 when I was 30, and now I'm 215 at 220 at 55 years old, and so I can't dunk anymore. I can still, you know, grab the rim and stuff like that. I can, you know, but what happens is when you get older, you get fatter, and you know, you eat, you gain. There's no losing weight all the time. Like when you're a kid and you play ball, you lose weight when you run for 2 hours, you know, 3 days a week. If you play, let's say you play 1 weeknight and both weekend days. Like, so you play Wednesday night, Saturday, and Sunday mornings, right? Let's say you play 3 days a week and you play 6 hours of basketball straight, right? And you're going to lose weight when you're young playing 6 hours of ball. But when you're old and you're slow and you're heavier, you can't jump, and you can guarantee you might lose like 1 or 2 pounds the whole week balling 6 hours, because when you're older, you just don't lose weight. You gain weight. And so after 40, it's just forget about it. Like Carver, you remember when you were 25 to 30, right? It's not the same as now when you're 40 years old. When you drink a case of Bud Light and have a Stromboli, you know, it lingers. I mean, it just sticks in you. There's no, like, I'm going to eat a Stromboli, a pizza, and drink a 12-pack of Bud Light, and I think you're not going to gain a weight. You're crazy. When you're older, you just gain weight, and you don't lose it. It's a fact of life. As you get older, you can't shed those pounds. So my point is when this kid, he's 20 years old, and he's got all these powerful bursts and explosiveness, what's he going to do when he's, you know, 7 years from now, when he's 27 and he weighs 350? I mean, honestly, it's going to become a problem.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hi, Pharrell on a bench on a Tuesday night, I think. Is that what day it is? I know that, look, tomorrow, I live in New York City, and it's going to have this gigantic blizzard here tomorrow. We're having this nor'easter, and it is absolutely, they're talking about a foot and a half of snow, and it's a blizzard. They're talking about 50-mile-an-hour winds, blizzard, whiteout, can't even drive, can't leave your house. It's going to be really bad, right? So I'm really looking forward to that. I got to tell you, it's just going to be a fantastic day tomorrow night, when we'll be lucky if the power stays on, and this whole city is just going to get just raked with this blizzard. And it's all the way too, like from, you know what, Carver, have you seen it? It's basically from what, Philly all the way to Canada. Literally,
yeah, it's all over the place. But like every 3 hours, it changes. Like it seems like some areas, you know, for me on Long Island, 2 days ago they said we're getting 18 inches, and now they're saying we're getting 6. You know, now they're saying, and then 2 hours later we're getting 11. Like they can't figure it out. But I guess it's because I'm on like that where the band kind of ends right there. So
right.
Like you're in North Jersey and in upstate New York, like you're getting it. Like it's just happening. So I'm kind of in that gray zone there on Long Island where it's kind of teetering back and forth.
You may not really, because I saw that too, that you may not, like Long Island may be spared.
Yeah,
this is like a New York City to northern New Jersey up to Boston type thing. And then into Canada. And, you know, they're saying, I think Cam said Buffalo's getting raked. Toronto's getting raked. It's just going to be really bad. So I was talking to my buddy in Vegas tonight. And, you know, I'm a Vegas guy. I've been there, lived there twice, been there, you know, millions of times with Carver High and Mafia. And he told me that they've legitimately not had any kind of precipitation whatsoever in over 225 days. Like, I mean, what do we get, about 2 inches of rain a week around here? I mean, like, yeah. It rains every week here, at least 2 or 3 days. I mean, like, all day long. Like, we don't get any kind of reprieve from precipitation. Are you kidding? It rains here every 3 days a week, year round. If we ever have 5 or 6 days of sunshine in a row, it's an absolute miracle. But all I know is that he said, yeah, it's nice here every day. He's like, I'm golfing. I'm like, what? And then he's like, have fun tomorrow and enjoy yourself. And then he hung up on me. And I was like, thanks a lot, buddy. So, because I already know what's happening tomorrow. Like, I got out my snow boots. I got out my, I got the snowblower ready. I go, I live next door to the priest, right? And he said, listen, I got a guy coming from the church. He's going to plow my driveway. He said, I'll have him plow yours too. I'm like, oh, thanks a lot, Father. I appreciate it. Meanwhile, I have this gigantic snowblower. It's huge. It's badass. It's like literally, I don't know. It's at least, you know, I would say whatever that is. What do you think that is, Carver High?
You got the big dog. You got the big dog. Take the big dog out. And you gotta take care of business. I told you the other day I built mine. I put mine together over the weekend because I bought one like 2 years ago and I hadn't gotten a chance to use it yet, thankfully. Right. And now it looks like I'll get to. It's, you bring up this stuff about the West Coast. Like, I feel like the last time that it's ever rained in Vegas was when we were there for Wilder Fury back in February. I think, what'd you say, 200 days or something like that?
Yeah, that's the last time it rained.
It was when we were there at the end of February before the world shut down. I think it did drizzle or rain that weekend in Vegas. And the last time it ever rained in L.A. was over a year ago in September when we were there for the Spence-Porter fight. And it rained. Never rains in L.A. Rained for 3 days when we were there. Probably hasn't rained in L.A. since. So I guess it's either me or whatever. We show up for these fights, and suddenly it rains, and then it doesn't rain.
You remember when we were in L.A. at the top of the Intercontinental, and we were at the pool, and it was raining ass? We still sat in the jacuzzi in the rain because we were, like, so miserable.
Couldn't have it. We just couldn't have it. We were out in L.A. They got this rooftop pool, and we're sitting there with cloud cover. I mean, we basically caught, like, the only 45 minutes where it wasn't raining and just the clouds were out. I mean, how does it rain in L.A. for 3 days straight?
It was pouring. We were sitting out in the rain in the hot tub talking to some guy that was a big fan of ours. And he's like, what are you doing out here? We told him we were at the fight, and it was just pouring. And we just sat there, and we looked at each other, and we're like, I don't even care anymore that it's raining. It's raining so bad. And then whatever. But I know, like, look, they're saying that I guess the worst snowstorm they've had here in a while was in 2016. We got a foot of snow, right? They're saying it's going to be as bad as that from, I guess, 4 years ago. I guess in 2018, we had one where we got like 6 or 8 inches or something in the city. But this one's allegedly packing a foot and a half or more of snow. And the whole city's getting ready for it. They got the whole, you know, the salt trucks ready. They got the snow plows ready. I mean, they got chains on the tires, the whole deal. It's just crazy. So I know that. So it's supposed to hit tomorrow afternoon into tomorrow night, and then it gets really bad overnight into Thursday morning. And so it's like a Wednesday night to Thursday mid-morning blizzard, and it's going to be packing a punch, and it's going to be nasty. I saw on like David Muir tonight on ABC, he said that it's in the track of, like, I don't know, 50 or 60 million people are going to get hit with it. And it's going to be this gigantic blizzard, nor'easter, nasty SOB that's going to devour us, and we're all doomed.
They're always wrong. They're always wrong. When they say it's a ton, you never get any. When they say it's nothing, you get a ton. They're never right. I don't understand how any of these people have jobs. They're never right when it comes to the weather. It's embarrassing.
We're right all the time on Sports Grid with our betting.
We're always right. We're right about that. You see, because we're right. And people respect it. These people are never right, these weather people. And it's just embarrassing. Do your job. Have some pride.
Is there any of them, like, that you want to, like, you know, do you want to punch Lonnie or Lee in the face? You know who I'm talking about.
Lonnie, he's, you know, and here's the thing, you know, it's like we always say, you know, he's a great recruiter. You know, he's a great guy. You know, he really is. We love Lonnie. He's a great guy.
Great
but
recruiter.
He's just bad at his job. You know, he's just like, give the people the, you know, tell them what's really going on here.
You don't listen to Lonnie. Have you ever heard they got, like, a song for him?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the little guy on ABC, I just want to kidnap him and take him somewhere. Put him in a hole.
Bill Evans?
What? No, he's like, he's not even there anymore, that guy.
I've seen him in a long time.
He's one long time gone from that. They got rid of him. He's not there anymore.
Bill Evans Celebrity Golf Classic back about 7 or 8 years ago. I think they canceled that too. This is how bad the Bill Evans Celebrity Golf Classic was. I might have been like the third or fourth, like, most famous person there, and I was basically a board op at WFAN at the time. So that's
I wonder where he is. I wonder where he is, because they use that. I don't know if you've ever seen, they use Lee Goldberg, and then they use this kid, Jeff Smith, and they use this chick named, like, Freeze. What's her name? Do you know who I'm talking about? Like, her name's like Debbie Freeze or something like that. She's got, like, the great weather name. Her name's Freeze. I forget her first name, but her last name is definitely Freeze. And Bill's gone. They don't even use it. I think he left the city. I haven't seen that guy on TV in a few years. I wonder what happened to him. That could be the mystery question of the night, Carver. You may have to Google what happened to him. Maybe they whacked him. Who knows?
Yeah. I'm not sure. You're right, because I mean, I don't watch any of these news people anyway, so I wasn't sure who's in the rotation right now on any of these channels. And I try not to
So you never watch
news? No, I don't watch the news. I got no
ever like not even in the morning when you get up because you're up early.
I got no use for those people. I can't do it. I'm not watching. But I think Amy Freeze does Sundays on Channel 7, I think.
Right, what do you do like in the morning? What do you watch? Anything at all?
Well, Olivia has the main TV. She's commandeered that. That's her area.
She's rocking cartoons.
She's got, you know, Nick Jr. or something
Nora
like that.
Nora the Explorer. Dora.
Right. And then I usually have the TV on in the morning when I'm doing stuff for Coast to Coast in the office, and I'll have Sports Grid on or something like that.
With the Sports Grid plug there. You watch Sports Grid all day. You remember when the guy yelled at us? He was like, "Well, watch Sports Grid."
But what I do is I can't watch it all day, but when she goes to school now on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, I have the time when I come back and I have those 2.5 hours, I do throw it on and I watch Jared and Ariel while I'm getting ready for Coast to Coast.
Right. Oh, all right. Well, I like them, so I got no problem with anybody that does a show. I just I watch the news, and I know what's going on in the city, and I know what's going on nationally, and I'm just being honest. I watch ABC, and I watch David Muir at night, and I watch during the day. I've been known to watch CNN and stuff like that. I cannot watch Fox. It's pathetic. It's so bad. It is so embarrassing, that Fox News channel. It's so awful. I don't care what anybody thinks. Like, if you like that, I don't like you. Okay? So let's just establish that right now. If you're a fan of that, then I don't like you at all, ever. Forever. I'll just hate you forever as a person. I'm just telling you, because that's communist television or whatever they call it. I don't know what it is. Vic Tabor is going to join us next to talk about the Raiders and Chargers game Thursday night in Sin City. All right, our main man, Vic Tabor's joining us, thank God. We haven't talked to Vic in a minute, but he's with The Athletic talking about the Raiders and Chargers on Thursday night in Sin City. Vic, how's it going? Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. All of that business. Hope you're doing great, man.
Yeah, I'm doing good, man.
Hey, so... let me ask you this question. You've heard people probably in the last few days after like the Raiders got whacked by the Colts say that, they're posers, that they're, I heard frauds is a word that was thrown around a little bit. How do you feel about where they are right now after the Colts game? And the Jets game was one thing, but a lot of people would say they should have lost that game if it wasn't for Greg Williams blitzing on that last play. They would have lost that game too. Where do you think they are?
Yeah, it's not good. They're definitely they're in trouble. The plane's going down, I think. They've like you said, they should have lost four in a row. I think they have a game now, a short rest with a new coordinator, new defensive coordinator. They got a bunch of guys in defense who aren't going to play, a bunch of guys who are hurt, some of their best players, which is not saying a lot, but still. So then today, Henry Ruggs goes on the COVID list today, so they're also losing Ruggs on Thursday. So it's not pretty.
So when you saw when they got rid of Gunter, the fallout from that, it's kind of bizarre where, you know, one day they fire him and then the next day they're all talking about how hard it was to fire him and how horrible they felt about it. That doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, it sounds to me like that he was the fall guy and they should just stick to their guns. They fired him and, you know, I don't know, frankly, why do you keep talking about it? I heard Gruden say it was really hard for me to fire him. Well, I mean, then don't do it if you're so afraid of firing him or don't want to fire him. Why'd they fire him? Because of what? Because the Colts kicked their ass? The Colts are a better team than the Raiders.
I agree. I think it was an emotional decision because, you know, Gruden went off and listed all their injuries and all their COVID problems all year long, which to me are excuses for not firing the guy. And I think, I mean, everyone, the fans have been after Gunther all year long, which I get. The numbers are terrible, but to me, it was like, well, who are you going to promote? And the guy they promoted was Rod Marinelli, who was the D-line coach, and the D-line's been terrible. I mean, they've been running against for 200 yards the last two games each week, so 400 yards rushing the last 2 weeks, and D-line coach gets a promotion. That makes no sense to me, but yeah, it's a weird team.
Yeah, so, Vic, they're playing this Charger team. Now, am I crazy? When that line opened up, like, I don't know what, I must be tripping because I saw it at 3.5, and now it's all the way to 9.5. Is that even possible? Is that number that bad? Carver, how do you know what that number is?
I think it's still 3.5. I think it's still three and a half. So
I think I'm just seeing a mistake then. All right, so I got it at 3.5. That's what I was comfortable with. I'm seeing, like, ESPN has it posted right now at 9.5. They're tripping. So I was saying, what happened there? So that's obviously a mistake. So do you think that they can handle their business tomorrow or Thursday night against the Chargers, who've been, let's face it, way worse than anybody in the West?
Yeah, I got my doubts. I mean, the first time the two teams played, you know, the Raiders won on the last second play when Zay Johnson broke up two passes in the end zone on the last two plays of the game. So they barely won the first time. I think right now the confidence is way down. I mentioned the injuries. So I think it's going to be a tough, tough game. I mean, the playoff hopes are still kind of alive, but not really, though. It'll be tough at this point. So I think it's a bad spot for them on short rest. You've got a team that, you know, should be upset because they lost them the first time.
So when it's all said and done, do you think, because I actually thought they were playing some decent football this year, and then all of a sudden they laid an egg in Atlanta, and like you said, it could have been four in a row, but they've had their problems. Would you say that Gruden is actually building a winner in Vegas, or are they actually just a team from Oakland that moved to Las Vegas and they're still the crappy Raiders?
I think there's still some positives you can take from this year. I think Derek Carr and Gruden definitely are in sync now. I mean, the offense has been pretty good, so I think that's a positive from this year. But, yeah, the Falcons game killed them. The Jets game, they barely won. So all year long, they're looking forward to this easy part of the schedule, and they couldn't deliver. So I think we'll see how they get to the finish line. But I think there's enough progress on offense where there should be some hope still for next season.
So no problems with Derek Carr. He's still the choice, and that they don't feel that they have a quarterback problem at all. They think he's a really good quarterback.
Yeah, I think they're more confident in him than they were at the beginning of the year. I mean, they brought in Mariota for $7.5 million, so they wanted him to push Carr at some point. But Carr's been good. Carr hasn't been the problem this year. He had one bad game against the Falcons. Otherwise, he's been pretty sharp. I think the problems this year are on defense, I think. So I think his confidence is good. I think Gruden was okay with Carr. I think that problem probably has been, you can take that one off for right now.
So when, the new stadium opened, it's unbelievable. I'm certain you've been in there. You know, how much do you think it really hurt them that, like, they never had any fans there? Like, they move into this brand-new Shangri-La. I've been there. It's amazing. And then all of a sudden, they got no fans at all. I mean, that just has to suck.
Yeah, it does suck. I mean, like you said, you got a brand-new toy, and you can't really enjoy it, I think. Well, I think they're fine. Were they 2-4 at home? I think that's something. Their record at home has not been good, and definitely it's been everywhere you go. All these games are kind of dead. But I think the Raiders definitely count on a home field advantage. Like, last year, they had it in Oakland. They're looking forward to it here in Vegas. But, yeah, it's just been another rough. It's been a crazy season. That's just another sad detail.
So Mark won't even go there. Mark Davis won't even go to it, like, is what I heard, that he won't go to games there until there's fans.
Yeah, I think it's actually kind of cool. Some people think it's not a cool move. I think it's a cool move because the place was sold out. So if they wanted to have less fans, you got to, like, have some kind of system where you choose who gets to go to which games, got to move fans around. He didn't want to do that. He's like, you know what, they can't all go. Well, I won't go. So I think it's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Let me ask you, in Vegas, because, you know, I'm there all the time. I got a lot of friends there. My best friends are there. My life has been there. I've lived there twice. La-di-da. I love it there. What's it like now after they had, you know, they had a horrible wave and they shut the city down, all the strip, all the casinos, everything got shut down. Then they, you know, reopened, Vegas reopened, and, you know, slowly but surely they started opening up, you know, casinos at least. You could go play and you could go drink, or at least you could go gamble. I know that, but I don't know the specifics about drinking and everything else. But like, I know these places like downtown are open, Circa, all the rest, the D, those are all open. What's it like today with the, you know, the new surge and the new second wave of this COVID that's ravaging our country? Is it bad there again?
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It definitely cut way back. And now if you want to get like a drink, like you mentioned, or food, you have to go to a casino pretty much. So most of the restaurants and bars can only do takeout at a very limited capacity. So you really can't go somewhere and just enjoy the game and with, you know, with other fans and drink some beer. So it's definitely, it's just weird. I mean, the whole, it's a weird environment. I mean, the Raiders, I think they had some buzz when they were 6-3, but that buzz is gone now. So it's kind of like they're playing in an empty stadium and fans at this point don't really care anymore.
Wow, that's crazy. So how long do you think, Vic, before because Vegas has really gotten a lot of attention having the NHL and the NFL there now. How far off do you think I've always believed the NBA and baseball will follow. Like, how far off in the future do you think that is?
Well, I think it's pretty close. I think once the, you know, once we get over this whole thing and the fans go back in the stadiums, I think the Raiders are going to do really well, and I think that'll definitely create some buzz as far as an NBA team. I think that's definitely, there's definitely, you know, the money's here to build things. I mean, that's why the Raiders came here, because they got a blank check to build a stadium, which wasn't going to happen in Oakland. But I think that'll happen with the NBA. They'll definitely get some help from the city to build something if they need it. And so, yeah, I think it's only a matter of time before the NBA is here and everybody's here, lacrosse, tennis, you know, every table tennis, the whole deal. Everyone will be here at some point.
Did you live in like the Bay Area when they were up there and cover them, or how did you end up covering them? Like, did you follow them to Vegas, or were you already in Vegas? Like, if I've asked you that question before, don't blame me, because I forget yesterday. Let alone you've been on the show 50 times, and I've probably asked you.
No, it's all good. I was in Oakland. I still am Oakland. I actually was going to move out here, but you know, with the whole the pandemic and there's no locker room access, so it's really everything can be done on Zoom. So training camp was weird. So I realized I can do both. I can commute. So I kind of come here for home games. I'm here like a lot, but I can still have my home base in Oakland for now. And we'll see what happens next season.
Wow. So do you feel like there'll be a point where you move to Vegas, or have you not really wanted to do that?
Yeah, I'm open. I mean, I was always open to anything. So I'm going to kind of, you know, my philosophy is taking one season at a time. So this season I was applying to, and I mean, we'll see what happens next season. But, yeah, it's crazy. You know, to me, my biggest fear is that they close these locker rooms now because of this. But I'm not sure they're going to open up again. I think once this thing gets handled, I'm sure teams like the lack of access and new players like it. So I'm a little worried about these locker rooms are actually going to open back up when this whole thing is over.
Wow, that's a really fascinating point, Vic. Do you think that, you know, I know Marshawn because of his agent, Dougie Fresh Hendrickson. And you know, he's a Bay Area guy, and there's
been
talk.
I know Doug well, yeah.
Right, like, so Dougie and I go way back, and I know he reps him. I don't really hang out with Marshawn. I'm not on his, you know, bandwagon in terms of being buddies or anything and getting him on the show or anything. I know Doug's been on a million times, but I've always talked to him about him. I seen that guy recently had talked about, you know, if somebody on a winner that had a chance to, you know, go deep into the playoffs on a run wanted him, like Seattle brought him back a couple years ago, that he had talked about that he might be interested in that. Do you think he's shot, or do you think he's still got something left that he can contribute to a winner in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think he can still contribute on a limited basis. I mean, he can't probably carry the ball like, you know, 15 times a game, but he'll probably give you like 8-9 tugs a game. I think he brings a lot to the locker room as far as his energy and his spirit. Definitely gives guys kind of that edge. So I think he's got a little bit left. I mean, definitely not a full-time role, but I can definitely see him. He's very smart about the marketing, and I'm sure he can use that to get some more, you know, recognition for his name. I'm sure he will. So I could definitely see it in a small role somewhere.
All right, 30 seconds respectfully. Is Oakland mad at the Raiders for leaving again? Do the people there hate them, or do they still like them?
I think more sad. I think they realized it wasn't going to happen as far as new stadium in Oakland. So I think they were sad that didn't get done there. But I think their fans always stick with them, whether L.A., Oakland, now Vegas. So I think most of them are just, they're still on board, just can't go to the games as much as they used to.
All right, listen, Vic, have a great holiday. Enjoy the game Thursday night. Hopefully they'll play a little better than they've been playing of late. It's always good catching up, brother. And, again, Happy New Year and the best to you and your family. Stay healthy, bro. Dodge that COVID and enjoy the rest of the season.
You too, bro. Take care.
My man, Vic Taffer with The Athletic out of Oakland, Cali, and, of course, covers the Vegas Raiders. And they're taking on the Chargers on Thursday night. Who are you liking that game, Carver High?
I'm on the Raiders. I've been anti-Charger. I bet against them every single week, and that will continue this Thursday. I think the Raiders take care of business.
So I think tomorrow on Coast to Coast, we're having Scott Kaplan on from Mightier 1090 in San Diego. I'm sure he'll have some nice things to say about the Chargers. We'll just have him on to let it all hang out and fly. We're still rocking tonight for another hour plus on a bench. So anyway, tonight, Tara Vanderveer passed Pat Summitt for the most wins in NCAA women's basketball history. She's like seven games ahead of Gino Auriemma, right? So it's like a race. But think about this. She quit coaching once at Stanford to just coach the U.S. national team. I don't know if you knew that, but the U.S. women's. So she never coached like a full season when she normally would win, you know, around 30 games, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 28 wins, you know, at least every year. Stanford's always good in women's basketball, right, for the most part. So tonight she broke that record of Pat Summitt. It's weird because I actually, I don't know if I ever showed you that, but I have, so when I clean the basement, right, so I've been getting ready to build this studio at the Ferrella Palatial for the TV and radio shows. I'm building a new studio. I used to have a really cool studio in my house when I did Howard Stern. And, you know, Howard let me do the show at home a lot because if you remember Carver High, you know the stories, right? Like, so I had a bunch of surgeries in those years, but it never stopped me from doing the show. It stopped me from being able to sit down and like get in a car and sit in a chair or go to work because I had four ass surgeries, right? So I had like genetically speaking, just really bad luck, right? Grandpa, dad, me, I got the lineage, right? I got the bad genes from grandpa, dad, and right to me. And I had same thing. Howard had the same thing I had. Fissures, fistulas, whatever. So I had all these surgeries, and I had four of them during those years, and like four different surgeries. So I did the show at home a lot, and I had this kick-ass show. So now I moved, whatever, like 5 years ago, and I'm building a new one now with Sports Grid. I'm building it for the Sports Grid shows. I'll tell you more about it.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.